and it's a surface parking lot, very popular lot with employee parking, monthly parking. But there are meters in the middle there that aren't in the best shape. They're the older style meters. So we're planning to replace some of those. Oh, all of those. I think there's about 30 some of those. And then we're going to move on to Armory Park. Armory Park has the older style, what they're called Dunkin' meters. They're not smart meters. You can't use a credit card with them, and they only cost 50 cents an hour. We haven't been able to upgrade those. You can use the app, though. So they do work with the app. So we're going to stay on top of that. We have plenty of backup batteries, and you know, we're going to tell the guys, you know, before school starts, this is the time to get these repaired. So we're pushing for that. Regarding our staffing levels for our parking service agents, we currently have on staff 4 parking service agents. 1 recently left us. The good news is we had a 2-day interview session where we selected 6 parking service agents to be eligible to be hired. We only want to bring on 4 at one time due to the needs for training and spreading our trainers thin. So we are currently waiting for our HR department to let us know if they've accepted and when their start date would be. We are looking for a start date by the end of July, and get them trained as soon as possible. So they will be here just in time for, you know, the school year starting again. So after that, we will still have some open positions. If we're lucky enough to get all 4 on, that would make 8, and then we can hire 3 more for a total of 11 allowed. So that is my quick update. I'll take any questions.
Tom, there has been a little pay bump for those positions that has been finalized in this current FY budget, right?
That's correct, yeah. It went up to, they were in the $16 range, mm-hmm. and now they're in the $17 range.
And besides that, just kind of some of the turnover is typical for this position, right? There's only so much you and HR can do on the churn side, right?
Yes, I would agree with that. There is a lot of turnover. It even surprised me when I first started how much turnover there is. We do have 2 senior guys that have been here 5 years, which is pretty good. But other than that, I've seen the average between, you know, a year and a half. I've seen a lot of folks turnover. Another pay bump that's coming to all City of Tucson employees is what they're calling, there's 2 things that are going on. A pay calculator is being readjusted. So everybody resubmitted their resume through our Workday system, and they put everyone through what's called the matrix. And that resulted in quite a few people getting raises because they either weren't meeting their current, pay windows that you know, should have been updated for a while. The other thing that was happening is new employees were coming in at higher salaries than their supervisors were making. So that is being addressed in this current budget by the city. Also a 1.5% raise overall. Some folks call it a cost of living raise. They were telling us not to call it that. It's just a raise. And then the other thing they're doing is they're going to do another market rate analysis for all the positions in the whole city, and get the window adjusted again to where that pay range should be. So the city is doing some things. Here at Park Tucson, what I'm developing is an introduction PowerPoint for our new parking service agents. I'm feeling that their initial startup is probably lacking in a few areas of information and explanation. So I'll be done with that this weekend. And for the new set of folks, that they'll have a new kind of a new training introduction. So we're trying a few different things to try to keep that turnover as low as possible.
Yeah, thank you. It's a tough position.
Yes, it is. And I passed on the commission's, heartfelt thanks for the folks working through the heat and the weather, and that they appreciate it. I made sure everyone knew that the commission's behind them and understands the hard work they do.
Yeah, that's great. I'm not seeing any other questions, Tom, on your report. Am I missing anybody? All right. And Tom, I think we're good to move on to number 5.
All right. Thank you. On-street student commuter parking program permit sales and schedule. Bear with me. I'm just going to get our website up here because I want to share with you what that looks like. All right, so it's that time of year. School's around the corner, and our on-street parking permit program has kicked off its 25-26 year. The first thing we start with, and I'll just back up, the on-street parking permit program aimed at students and commuters provides on-street parking around the University of Arizona mainly, but we do have areas in downtown and 4th Avenue that do offer on-street permits. There's just not as many in downtown or 4th Avenue. But all around the University of Arizona, north, south, and west of the campus, we have several blocks where you can buy on-street parking. The first part of the schedule is the renewal period. So we are currently in the renewal period that started on July 15th, and we allow about 10 days or so for the renewals to take place. So we kind of give them a little heads up on the competition, and then, there it is, renewals begin July 15th. We then open it up to everybody else on August 1st. So I can say that we've already received 100 applications. We have about 570-ish permits to offer. So 100 are in the first 2 days that we've already accounted for, but the numbers are probably higher since I got those numbers. And we've already processed 70 of those. You know, we're trying to just stay on top of it to make sure these students are, or employees, a lot of employees get these too, get served quickly, and we get the, we don't want any juggernauts with that, the permit sales. Regarding pricing, we did increase the prices this year. From zone A to M, the prices went up $10 each. We did have the ability to go higher than that, but we didn't sell out last year. We were really close. I think we were missing 4 or 5, but we were a little wary to increase the rates too much. So we didn't take advantage of the full rate hike that we could have employed. So a $10 increase for those zones. The closer you are to university, the more expensive it is. And we do offer the semester permits as well, which are 55% the cost of the full year. And this is our page. You can apply for this online and then come into the office to get a permit. We have all of our regulations. Sometimes the neighborhoods do complain about the use of or the misuse of the permits, and our parking service agent team keeps an eye on that. They do patrol and make sure that the permit assigned to that vehicle is on the correct block. So these are issued block by block. We have so many spots per block, and if you have a permit, you can park anywhere on that block. But occasionally, people bleed out of that area, and we have to give them a ticket. So, the other information is just information, really, of parking, the refund policy. We do give relief for street construction. This came into play a lot a few months ago with Rincon Heights, just south of the U of A. Rincon Heights had a massive road repaving project. It affected close to 20 blocks, if not more. And we allowed the permit holders with on those affected blocks to park on an adjacent block. I'm glad that project's over. Rincon Heights was very patient through the project, so but that's over. And so, yeah, we try to make accommodations for construction as well. But we're hoping to sell out this year, and our prices are lower than the University of Arizona's parking rates, so we kind of undercut them a little bit. We are probably below what market rate should be, or what it is. We can probably justify a higher rate here. That will be addressed in a cost of service analysis that a consultant hired by the city is conducting. They're meeting with revenue generating divisions within the Department of Transportation. There's really only two, Park Tucson and PDSD, Planning and Development Services. You know, they sell, they cost for permit reviews and plan reviews. So that consultant is collecting information like our labor costs, what the market rates are, and they're going to suggest rate adjustments to Park Tucson and PDSD. We're expecting in the fall for this report to come out, so hopefully August or September we'll see that. And that's my report. I'll take any questions.
Thanks, Tom. Not seeing any questions yet. Tom, you're killing it on a Friday morning. I think you answered all questions.
Very informative.
I had a lot of coffee already.
Yeah. All right. Well, given no questions, good enough on that item. And thank you, Tom, for that. Extended parking meter enforcement hours activity update. I know we're all interested in this one.
Thank you, sir. Looking at our parking activity, a meter parking activity on street since our June 2nd extension of the enforcement hours, we took a look at numbers between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., those are the new hours, and on Saturdays. So I'm going to show you a couple of Excel sheets here. One is the citations and warnings we've been issued, and the other one is revenue. So let me start with the meter citations. All right. So these dates are Saturdays. So we just looked at approximately the last month here. So 621, 77 meter citations. And that's important because we had a 2-week warning period where we issued warnings only. So the 21st, we were into the third week. So we were out there giving citations. So 77 on that Saturday alone. The next Saturday, the 28th, 62. 75 on July 5th, and most recently, most recent Saturday, July 12th, 80. So, kind of consistent, I would say. Got some consistent violators there. Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. I should have put the date here. This is starting the 15th. This is June 15th through July 15th. 344 meter citations issued Monday through Friday during the extended hours. I'm not surprised at that number. I might even expected a higher number. And just to remind you guys, we did warnings, and we've done warnings even on, you know, a Saturday after the rollout. So still issuing warnings and such. So 638 on the Saturdays and the Monday through Fridays for the month, and 246 warnings. And I want to show you the revenue associated with this. right? So these are total revenue figures broken down by the three districts that have the meter extension. Fourth Avenue is not included because we did not extend the hours. So starting the first day of the extended hours, we started tracking that, and we tracked that all the way to mid-July here. So I'm gonna kind of fast forward through the first couple weeks here because we were just starting out. But starting around the middle of the month, we'll start with the 16th here. Well, let me back up to the 14th because we made $2,200. And let me make sure that's university. That's downtown. So downtown, then university. So $2,200 downtown, university area, $400. Mercado area, $108. So Mercado, we were looking at, the whole day, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you can see as we go, a few hundred dollars a day, the 16th, you had $407, $156, $51. There's a $500 in there, $400 in there. Downtown at $4,234 on at the 21st. And, in the $500 to $600 range. The 28th, that was a big day, $3,740. And, that day, the 28th, was a Saturday, and the previous high was Saturday too. So we are seeing good turnout on Saturdays for folks paying. Good cooperation, I'll call it. And getting into July here, similar numbers, $500. The 12th, a big day, $3,900. And you can see our totals for downtown, 34,000 during the extended hours, 6,800 for the university area, and 3,400 for Mercado. I will say Mercado probably had a slower adoption period than the other districts, especially because the paid parking was brand new. Paid parking had never been done at Mercado previous to June 2nd. We also had a longer warning period in Mercado, 3 weeks. No, we did 4 weeks, sorry. We did 4 weeks, a whole month of warning. So I think it's just going to get a little, take a little bit longer for Mercado to catch on. We are still in talks with them about Mercado securing their dirt parking lots. We do see quite a number of cars parked there. That had been taking place before the extension. A lot of those cars are employees, but we know that there's some visitors going in there as well. So I'm still making sure that they at Mercado are doing their part. We also still have three blocks in the Mercado area that are not equipped with the pay stations. We had to do upgrades on those three, and we're waiting for those to be delivered. Hopefully next week, we're getting those. In lieu of the pay stations, the Passport app signs are up and installed. So it does say it's posted paid parking. You can pay with the app, which quite a few people use. And I think that when we get the pay stations in, we'll have even more revenue. And with the additional enforcement, more revenue will come in. So that's my report on the activity.
Tom, somewhat related, but not exactly about these numbers. What are you seeing in terms of any changes in traffic or usage? I think one of the concerns, that we heard from some of our businesses, some of our committee members, was that increasing the parking rate hour enforcement periods would disincentivize folks from coming downtown. There would be somewhat of a backlash. Are you seeing any changes in ingress, egress, any changes in parking, any trends that would validate that or push back on that?
Great question, Zach. Just to the naked eye, we haven't noticed a big difference. It's been negligible. However, you bring up a point. We should be looking at transactions and comparing those. So I will do that before Tuesday's Park Tucson Commission meeting.
No.
And give an update on transaction comparisons. You're absolutely right. Without knowing the transactions, we're not sure how that's impacting the use. So I wish I had those numbers for you, but I don't know.
Yeah, that would be great. No worries about those today, but I think if we can better understand that and maybe have that story to tell, that would be really good. And I don't see Holly still on the call. I could just be missing her. But maybe the Chamber and Downtown Tucson Partnership could also do some connection with our businesses to see how the employee piece is going. Do you have any data on where employees are parking, or if they're just so far paying the extra 2 hours, or any thoughts on that?
I don't have any sight on that right now. What we can do is take a look at those streets during those times and see the occupancy. I'll ask the team to take a look at that. I see JR and Eric are on the call. And JR, if you have any, notes or comments about that, or any observations, I think it might be a little too early, especially with the warning period just ending.
Yeah, I think it's a little early at this point to get a good bead on it. I think once we start the citation process, it'll be a little bit easier because people will chance it as long as there's warnings being given. Once the citation start is when we'll actually see an impact.
JR, thank you. JR, can I ask you before Tuesday to look at the transactions? We'll talk later, but we'll try to prepare that for Tuesday's meeting during the extended times.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Any other questions on the extended parking meter enforcement hours activity? I'm not seeing any immediately, so I think we're good to continue on to item number 7.
Thank you very much, sir. And let me just get something up here I wanted to share with you. Item number 7, future parking products information, text to pay, and online meter reservation system. So we are excited to roll out 2 different products. One's going to be another way to pay at the meters, and that's text to pay. Text to pay is similar to our app, but it does not require an app. What we've heard from visitors mainly is that they don't want to download another app. They would rather text to pay, and that's what we're hearing from IPS, our meter provider, and visitors. So IPS has a text to pay product. We have started the initiation of that. There's programming going on the back end, and there are stickers that have been ordered. And I want to show you a quick video and a sticker design, because stickers are just going to go on the meters, to show you how this is going to look and work. It's of no cost to Park Tucson to roll out this program. Doesn't cost us anything. The stickers were free. IPS makes their money through a convenience fee. It's going to be 35 cents a transaction. So if you bear with me, I'm just going to try to grab that video. Show you how that's going to work. apologize. I didn't have these set up as well as I should have. Let me start with the sticker, only because I found that first. Here's what the sticker design looks like. It's going to be a teal color, which is different than the app color. The app stickers are yellow and white, whereas these will be teal. So you basically do the three things. You text pay to a 5-digit number, and then you enter your zone number. It's really a space number. They call it a zone. We did have some concern that customers could confuse the text to pay zone with the app zone. Those are different numbers, different systems, different companies. But IPS assured us if you're just following the instructions on the sticker, it should be very easy and simple. They do have other cities that have both text to pay and apps going on, and they said it's not going to be a problem. We're going to see if it's going to be a problem or not if we get complaints. But this is essentially what the stickers look like. They're going to go on the front of the meter. You can imagine there's that big circle on the front of the meter. We do have a message that we already have a sticker on top of that circle, but this half moon on the bottom is empty on the front of our meters, and that's where that is going to go. Let me get that video for you. Please stand by. Right now, sorry for the delay. Thanks for your patience. But there's a little bit of volume here involved, so let's see if we can hear it. So a couple points, just like the app, it tracks your parking session. So we think that's a great benefit. You can, if you forget when you started your session, you can just check, go back to that link and it'll show you how much time you have left. It gives you the heads up that you have 10 minutes to finish your parking session, very similar to the app. And you can get a receipt as well. So I'm excited to roll that out. We're waiting for the stickers to be delivered and the programming to complete. And we're expecting this to be up in as early as 2 weeks. Just the time-consuming part is going to be the sticker installations. So our guys are going to go around and install those. So I'll take any questions on text to pay.
Looks great. I don't have any questions, and
Not seen any from the rest of the subcommittee.
All right. The other product I wanted to talk about was our online meter reservation system. And for those who were on the commission about 6 to 8 months ago, we did talk about rolling out a meter reservation program online. So currently, meter reservations, or hooding, is what a lot of people know them as, because we place a hood over the meters when they're reserved. The current system, it doesn't really use technology. We use an Excel spreadsheet. Staff that takes the reservations inserts notes on an Excel spreadsheet, which has a address, dates, and the indication when to reserve the meters. It has worked well for us, but it's really labor intensive in terms of the customer service staff basically doing every reservation for the customer. Yes, they fill out a form, but then we're processing it. Online, the customer is going to be able to do all of that themselves. They're going to be able to pay for it online, pick their meter, and receive a permit. And I just want to bring up a quick snapshot of what that, just a quick brochure, really, of what that looks like with some features here. Garcia's dismay, and my desktop is also quite messy. I just wanted to show you what we currently do. So, at our on-street permit section, oops, not there, sorry, it's in our navigation somewhere here. So, down here we have our reserving meter spaces or loading zones. And this is where the link to the online system would be installed. So we have information about reserving meter spaces. The current rate is $11 per day. That increased from $9 a day on June 2nd when our meter extension hours went into effect. So it's essentially $1 an hour. Monday to Saturday, if someone wants to reserve a meter on Sunday, we charge half price. And we also provide half price for nonprofit special events. Accessible meters, ADA spaces, are $25. And we do charge a service fee for late requests or outside of normal business hours. There's a lengthy application, and I really see this going away when we go online. That we feel will, this is similar, there's a construction of the special event. So we do see it getting a little easier to navigate. And we tried a previous system through IPS, and I'm glad we didn't roll it out. JR used it with some frequent flyers that reserve meters quite often. And it wasn't working to our satisfaction. It wasn't intuitive. It was a little confusing. We didn't spend any money on that. IPS did that, created that free for us. But at the end, we said it's really not for us. I'm glad we did that trial period to figure that out. But Passport, who provides our app, provides this system. And we went through a couple demos with Passport. We really liked it. It costs $5,000. It's one-time fee. Passport did waive the $5,000 annual subscription fee, which was really nice of them. So $5,000, and I do want to show you a brief briefing. He was very nice. JR, our sales rep, what was his name? He was really good with us.
For who?
For Passport, Tyler, right? I think it was Simon.
For Passport, it was Tyler and Jackson.
Yeah, Tyler and Jackson. So really, really good, good to work with. And Tyler here provided this brochure. I can find it. It's not that important if I can find it. I'm going to give it one shot here. Here we go. Thanks for your patience, guys. The online reservation system is called SpotBlock from Passport. It's been used in a lot of cities. I'm going to try to zoom into what the interface looks like. So as a user, you would go in and select your dates, select location of the meter. There will be a map for the meter locations. You can select your dates, times, and pay for it all through this online portal. The back office will then go into this on a regular basis and approve or deny the request. So, number one, the SpotBlock system knows what's already reserved. So if you try to reserve a meter that's already been taken, it won't let you reserve that. But it does not automatically allow you to reserve just because you've applied. Our back office still reviews each request to make sure that it's suitable and can be accommodated. We take things into consideration like special events, the type of businesses, how close they are to certain things. So we still have that control over, you know, how many and where these reservations are being conducted. So it eliminates a lot of the manual work. We feel that we're going to save a ton of hours in the office. We feel that there will be an increase in revenue also because it's going to be easier for the customers. And we just think it's going to be a good program. We did promise this, and we're going to make it happen. So we're about to issue that purchase order, and we have a meeting with them to talk through the setup next week. So with that, I'll stop and see if you have any questions.
Not seeing any questions, Tom. Another great update. Excited to see that roll out.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are too.
All right, Tom, I think we're good to continue on to item 8.
All right, Mercado District Parking and Area Development Update. I wanted to give you an update directly from Maria Gayoso, who is a principal planner with the Planning and Development Services. And I can't go through, you know, these projects again and what they look like. So essentially, there's two large apartment complexes that are scheduled to be built around the Mercado area on Congress, one north of Congress, one south. The one north is Congress and Bonita. The one south is at Congress and Linda. They're essentially across the street from each other. And these large residential apartment complexes have applied for a parking reduction. So there's an individual parking plan that developers have to, well, they don't have to use this, the city requires so many parking spaces per residential unit, but an IPP or individual parking plan can be requested, submitted to the city to request reduced requirements for parking. And what they're calling the Congress Apartments, they've asked for both these projects asked for a really big reduction in their on-site parking requirements. So for the Congress Apartments, they're only suggesting that they provide 17 parking spaces, where after the normal set of reductions, they'd be required for 82. They do also use they employ our bicycle parking relief. So basically for every five or six parking spots, if you provide bicycle parking, you can get a parking space reduced. So that gets them down to 61. So at the very least, you know, 61 spaces would be required, and they're asking for only 17. So that's a big reduction. For the apartments at Linda, they're calling the Linda Apartments, they started off with a requirement of 96 on-site spaces, and they're asking to only provide 29 of those. The developer is speaking a lot about the demographic for these apartments. They believe are car-free. A lot of these units are one-bedroom or studios. There's only several, less than 10 units total that are, you know, more than one bedroom. So we're not expecting families at these apartments, but young professionals who hopefully will use public transportation. So the developer pointed out all the public transportation. There's the Sunlink streetcar, there's the busing, there's the loop for bicycles, and the other parking in the area. So yes, there's on-street parking, and there's parking in Mercado and several of the streets around there. So the developer's banking on that to get through the process, and they have submitted their IPPs. There was a couple months of reviews, presentations with the community. The Menlo Park Neighborhood Association was presented to. They've been the most vocal group. Menlo Park residents feel that these apartments will bring residential traffic onto their side streets in front of their homes. They feel like they're going to lose their parking. Justifiably so. I see where they're coming from. Menlo Park is aware that we do offer the residential parking permit program. They're not currently in that program, but they do fall within the boundary of that program. So if a block requests, does an application and does a petition, they could get the residential parking permit program on their block. It does cost money, $48 a year for Monday through Friday, $72 for evenings and weekends. A lot of the residents are stating that they shouldn't be forced to pay for parking in front of their homes where they never should have been. So there's that. They're also talking about concerns about congestion on Congress, stating that there's already traffic backups west of the 10 on Congress. So getting in and out of Bonita and Linda, they feel will be a very congested, difficult thing to do. So that's really a summary of what the residents are concerned with. So both applications were received on July 11th, only a week ago officially. It takes about 6 weeks to process. So I did ask Maria if there's any way during this review process where the commission or a person from the public can still weigh in, provide input. She hasn't gotten back to me on that. We really did pass the public comment period. But with the two meetings I've been involved with, I've voiced my stance that the parking reduction requested is too aggressive. And I was reassured by the planning services folks that they felt the same way. So I don't know where, you know, the city is leaning towards. I don't have a lot of visibility into the review process, but it takes about 6 weeks. So unfortunately, I can't tell you what direction this is looking like, or how much of a percentage of reduction will be allowed. But that's the brief update I have for this project.
Tom, do you know what the public engagement opportunities look like with the infill incentive district design review committee? Is that a body that we can connect with, or is the public comment period just closed in that avenue as well?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I have been put in contact with the chair of that committee. He recently asked us for a summary of the parking, on-street parking offered around Mercado and these developments. I did provide him that. Let me ask him if there is room to make some additional comments to the committee itself.
Okay.
I will report back on Tuesday.
That'd be great. Yeah, I think that's my only question or feedback at this time on that item. Anybody else? All right, Tom, thorough as always. I think we're rounding the bases to our last item.
Thank you. Sorry, stand by one second. So the next item, letter to mayor and council. I know, Zach, you've been working on this, and I will hand it over to you if you don't mind, Zach, and just a brief reminder of how this works. The committee would vote on the final version of the letter and whether or not to send it to mayor and council. And if this committee approves that, and then the full commission, that can be finalized, and the letter can be delivered to the city manager's office, either directly from the commission and or from staff. But staff cannot participate in the writing of the letter.
Yeah, Tom, I think that pretty much covers it. Again, it's a letter that reflects our concern with parking revenue being considered as an additional revenue item in the general fund. And our letter just speaks to the lengthy process that we just finalized to extend the parking meter enforcement hours, as well as a little bit of insight into the 5-year financial plan for Park Tucson to be sustainable financially as a unit. And so we looked at that at the last commission meeting. Dale Calvert had one minor request to add into that. Tom, I will get you a final letter on my end with that edit inputted. I'm going to try by end of day, if that's okay. And then that can be attached to the agenda for Tuesday.
Sounds good. I'll be looking for that, and when we send out the when we attach the agenda for Tuesday's commission meeting, which should be later today, actually, okay. We'll get that. So Erica, we will talk later about including Zach's letter as an attachment to the meeting invite.
Okay. We typically need it by 4, Zach, if you're going to have it today.
By 4.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Other than that, I think, Tom, this is also a space where this subcommittee, if they've had any other questions or edits or requests on that, this is an opportunity for me to make some of those notes to them, before I send the final draft at 4. And of course, that's going to be sent out prior. And then there will be space for conversation at the meeting itself. So just wanted to also have any opportunity for additional conversation if needed on that letter. easy today. So Tom and Erica, I will send over that final draft by 4 today, and looking forward to having that final vote on Tuesday.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Zach. We'll be looking out for that, we'll make sure to include it.
Sounds good. Well, if nothing else on that item, let's look at or suggest any future agenda items for this subcommittee. Any suggestions from the committee? I think the only thing that, and we it's already been discussed in this meeting, I think it would be really good to maybe have a quick standing item for this subcommittee, and maybe even the Park Tucson Commission itself, to look at kind of trends and data around, especially once the citations are really in full force, to kind of get a sense of, is that parking meter enforcement extension, is that impacting any of our business customer base? Are we seeing any changes in how people are using downtown? And then maybe also some continued quick follow-ups on the impacts on employees, and if we're getting some good data on where employees are parking, whether they're just paying the extra $2 or whether they're taking advantage of some of the spaces that the Park Tucson administrator has helped to carve out to make life a little easier for the employees. I think tracking some of those data points, at least for the next maybe 6 months real quick, would be really good.
Absolutely. I will get that as a standing item on the agendas for the Park Tucson Commission and this committee. So we'll take a look at activity, trends, data, and talk to businesses and employees, and see where the employees are parking.
Great, thanks, Tom.
Got it.
Anybody else have any future agenda items? Tom, just so I have a frame of reference, remind me when you're stepping away, unfortunately.
Yes, that would be a week from today. Would be my last day, yeah. I'm sad to go.
Yeah, sad to lose you. Is there going to be an interim, or who's going to fill your shoes for the time being?
Yeah, so JR will fill my shoes for the time being. He'll have the support of Director Andy Bemis, as well as the whole Park Tucson staff. So JR would be your go-to man, like he has been for me since I've been here. More announcements to come on that front. The position is open. It's under recruitment right now. I believe it closes on the 28th of this month, if I'm not mistaken. We staff will provide updates to the Park Tucson Commission on how that's going and provide announcements.
Great. I think that's all for me. Is there anything from anybody else on the call? All right. Well, Tom, this is our last subcommittee meeting with you. So thank you again for all your work and everything that you've led in the last couple of years. And really appreciate your approach to public service and engagement with people and Tucsonans. And really sad to lose you, and hope everything goes well on the family side.
Thank you so much. I couldn't have asked for a more supportive commission, and also just the help that I've been provided from the commission, from my staff. It's made it easy and enjoyable. So thank you for all your support. Really appreciate it. I think that there's a bright future for Park Tucson. We're going to turn the financial corner here soon. We're excited to provide you with a financial update on Tuesday. There's a bright future ahead.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, unless anybody has anything else to share, I think we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting and keep this at under an hour, which is a feat.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Tom, and all.
Thank you. Have a good day. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.